This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The state legislature is in a special session right now. They're supposed to be dealing with the thorny issue of redistricting, a topic that never seems to go away here in Texas. This is happening while the nation waits for the U.S. Supreme Court to hand down its historic decision on the Voting Rights Act. That decision could come any day now. State Representative Trey Martinez-Fisher, a San Antonio Democrat, is working on a redistricting, and I'm sure he's waiting patiently for the Supreme Court. Welcome to The Source, Representative Martinez-Fisher.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me.
So what's the big concern about this Shelby County case that that the Supreme Court is going to rule on? What would happen if they threw out the Voting Rights Act? How would that impact Texas?
Well, I think going forward, it means that whenever Texas decided to change voting procedures in any form or fashion, that they wouldn't be required to get preclearance from the Department of Justice or from the federal courts. But it doesn't give Texas the right to do what they did in Texas redistricting. And there'll be several components of the Voting Rights Act that'll continue to live. There will always be challenges when minority voters don't feel like they're getting their ability to elect candidates of their choice at the ballot box. It just takes away that preclearance phase, which some people argue is not necessary. I happen to believe that there's a good reason why we're under preclearance and that it shouldn't go away, but the Supreme Court gets the last word sometime at the end of the month.
So we're in redistricting now. Why are we always in redistricting in Texas? Why can't we just figure out a map like other states seem to do?
Well, I will tell you that Texas became a covered jurisdiction under the Voting Rights Act in 1975. And every redistricting since that time, Texas has failed to timely preclear their maps, which means at a time when Democrats were controlling the state, they always, you know, had some issues with discrimination and voting procedure irregularities with Hispanics. And now today, it just seems to be that today's leadership is Republican, but the voting rights violations remain the same. And so, you know, I wish in a perfect world that we didn't have to deal with this, but we have a very sophisticated minority community. They know the difference between fair and unfair voting maps. And quite frankly, when 90% of the growth in the state of Texas was minority growth, and minorities did not receive one new seat in Congress or not additional seats in the state house, something is wrong. And that's why there are these challenges. And you know, I'd be the first one to say, I wish we didn't have to work on this summer, and I'd be happy to be working on other things. But unfortunately, we are where we are, and the patterns of discrimination and when it comes to voting and electing candidates of our choice certainly has not corrected itself, in my time.
We had maps that were approved tentatively for the last election. Are we going to end up with maps that are similar to those, or are we going to get something radically different?
Well, that's a good question, because when the federal court in San Antonio drew an interim map, they drew it with very narrow constraints given to it by the Supreme Court of the United States. But the court said these maps are temporary. These maps don't address the legal claims brought by the litigants. We just want to have these districts in place for the 2012 election. Well, now you have the legislative leadership wanting to adopt those maps and make them permanent. And we know last week in federal court in San Antonio, the judges, while I don't want to, put words into their mouth, they had some very strong reservations, and you can tell from their questions that they don't believe the interim maps are going to address the legal claims presented and that they should not be construed as permanent maps. And so I think that we have the opportunity while we're in special session to try to make changes to the interim map. I'm going to work in good faith. I'm going to work hard to see if we can accomplish that. But I think that there's not going to be the political will from the Republican leadership to accept the reality that the map is going to have to change dramatically to satisfy concerns of minority voters.
So as
I then think just puts us back in federal court.
Now, there is as the legislature is trying to deal with this, they're going to be taking hearings on the road, going to Corpus Christi, Houston, and Dallas. Is that correct?
Corpus Christi, Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio.
And San Antonio also, okay. But not on the border, and that seems to be a place where there's a lot of issues about, how we divide up districts.
I talked to a colleague of mine from El Paso this morning who wrote a letter to the committee asking for public hearings in El Paso. as you know, El Paso has a congressional district, Congressional 23, where there's been some voting rights issues raised there. And then there's a state house district in El Paso that also was even mentioned in the United States Supreme Court's opinion. But yet there's been no desire to go to El Paso. And that's a good example of why you want to take public input from a community that's been impacted by these arbitrary maps. And so I hope that the committee has a change of heart. I'm willing to go out there. I'm going to be in Dallas tomorrow. I'll be in San Antonio Monday, and I'll be in Houston on Wednesday. There's no reason why we can't go to El Paso.
So what do you hope to see when they have the hearing in San Antonio?
Well, I think San Antonio actually has a very rich history of being at the center of social change. And, you know, a lot of the groups of LULAC and MALDEF and, you know, even the caucus that I chair, the Mexican-American Legislative Caucus, was founded in 1973 by Matt Garcia, who was a San Antonio state representative. I hope that witnesses come forward and just talk about the need to not have a map that swings for one political party or over the other. It just needs to represent our demography. It needs to represent, you know, all of the diversity we bring to the table. And San Antonio has a rich history of doing that. And so I think when witnesses say, let's draw a map that's going to incorporate the growth of the minorities that's creating all of the political possibility, and I think we can do the rest. And so, but I say this, I think there's very little that can be said on Monday. We don't already know. We've put on a wonderful trial in federal court with mountains of evidence to show that these lines were drawn for the wrong reasons, and many, many minorities, African-Americans and Hispanics, were left on the sidelines at the expense of partisan politics. And I have no problem. I have no problem with people being partisan. In other words, being Republican versus Democrat. I have a big problem when they do it on the backs of the minority community. And that's exactly what happened with these 2011 legislative maps.
Well, back to the Supreme Court in Shelby County and the possibility of them throwing out the Voting Rights Act enforcement of Section 5. Some people are predicting that if that happens, things could really get rough in Texas, that we could see the shortening of early voting. We could see polling places moved out of low-income neighborhoods. We could see that redistricting could be even harsher for minority populations. So is that, you know, just too pessimistic?
Well, no, I think Section 5 is extremely important, and let's take political redistricting off the table, because that seems to be self-serving to people like me and others who run for office. Let's look at voter ID. Voter ID in Texas was stopped because of Section 5. It was stopped because 795,000 people in Texas were registered to vote but didn't have a driver's license or a state ID or a handgun license. If it wasn't for Section 5, those folks would have been, you know, not given the opportunity to vote that they once had. And what's unique about Section 5 is it is forward-looking. It says before you can make a change in voting, we have to know whether or not that is going to be, you know, something that we can pre-clear at the federal level. Without Section 5, we're looking at Section 2, which really works in hindsight. And this is something that gets resolved a year, 2 years, sometimes later, after an election's already occurred. And quite frankly, once the election's over, I mean, people lose interest and they lose the resources to fight. So I think Section 5 is critically important. From a historical perspective, Texas became a covered jurisdiction because of the English-only ballot. It was the inability for Hispanics who could not read English, their inability to read an English ballot and vote was the reason why we became a covered jurisdiction. And that's, you know, that is, we've overcome some awful history. But quite frankly, you know, having two findings in 2012, two findings by federal judges that Texas still intentionally discriminates against minorities, tells us that we're no better and no different than we were in 1975 when we became a covered jurisdiction. The Voting Rights Act does allow jurisdictions to get out of voting rights protection if they can show a level of demonstrate a level of not having any violations with the Voting Rights Act over the course of time. You know, Texas is certainly in that position, but unfortunately, every year, every 2 years, there's always seems to be something going on when it comes to voting rights in Texas.
Well, Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott and Texas U.S. Senator Ted Cruz say that this is onerous, it's punitive for Texas, and that if it doesn't apply to the entire country, then why should Texas and a handful of southern states and Arizona be subjected to these rules?
Well, I think what Senator Cornyn and Senator Cruz are not telling you is that Texas became a covered jurisdiction because of some very bad behavior. And I think we would all like to know that Texas would not be a covered jurisdiction because they acted like the rest of the country in a responsible way. But quite frankly, we have not survived a single decade of redistricting without having a voting rights violation occur with either House maps, Senate maps, or congressional maps. And, of course, it is very difficult to pre-clear these things when they're not fair. And if Texas did things right, they wouldn't be a covered jurisdiction under the Voting Rights Act. And so, quite frankly, while it's easy to just dismiss the Voting Rights Act altogether, I take the view that we should actually abide and follow the Voting Rights Act, because when we do that, then we can take ourselves out of coverage. And for some reason, that seems to be too much work to do for Senators Cornyn and Cruz.
Do you anticipate that the current redistricting fight is going to push back primaries again in the upcoming year?
That's a great question. I think that where we are in special session, we have the ability to come up with a map that I believe is fair, that's going to adequately represent minorities across the state. We get to control the outcome. In other words, we get to draw the lines ourselves. And most importantly, we control the timeline, which means that if we care about the 2014 primary going on time, we're going to be motivated to act. You put this in the hands of federal judges. We are going to follow the law. We're going to litigate this thing. They are not going to cut any corners. And just like they moved the 2012 primary.
Yeah, but you're asking our lawmakers to do things exactly opposite that they did last time.
I agree with you, and of course, that's almost very difficult for me to say, but I get the impression that the lawmakers actually want to do the right thing. This is a much different political.
An optimistic point of view from State Representative Trey Martinez-Fisher, a Democrat from Texas, a leading voice in the fight for redistricting. Thank you so much for joining us, Representative Martinez-Fisher. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you so much for listening.
The Source is a production of Texas Public Radio. Paul Flav produces the show. Oversight is provided by TPR Program Director Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor, and production assistance comes from Catherine Dixon. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
Coming up tomorrow on The Source, streetcars are rolling out for San Antonio, but on what streets? Should they go through Hemisphere Park, in front of the Alamo, and straight down Broadway? Call in with your ideas. Also, we're talking Folklife Festival, a celebration of Texas cultures. Join us for The Source tomorrow afternoon at 3 on KSTX. The Source is made possible through contributions to the TPR Community Engagement Fund.